It's 5 hours West Universal Time. Stay tuned for Daybreak Africa coming up after these latest world news headlines.
I'm Victor Beatty reporting. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson Monday made unannounced stops in Iraq and Afghanistan. In Baghdad, Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi defended the Shia paramilitary Popular Mobilization Force for its sacrifice in defeating Islamic State and assistance in retaking Kirkuk from Kurdish forces. Sunday, Tillerson called for an end to Iranian influence in Iraq, including support of those paramilitaries. James Jeffrey, a distinguished fellow with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy and a former diplomat, credits the Trump administration for trying to look past Iraq in a post-Islamic state.
It's one thing to go after the Shia popular militias, bearing in mind they're seen as heroes by many Iraqis, and some of them are not under Iran's control, but under Muqtada al-Sadr, as all were called forth by Sistani. So it's a bit tricky. The main thing is what Tillerson is really trying to do, and he missed it by a little bit, is to say we do not want them pushing into Kurdish territory.
Tillerson also urged Baghdad to resolve its conflict with the Kurdish regional government over independence. Earlier, the top U.S. diplomat discussed strategy with Afghan President Ashraf Ghani near Kabul before traveling to Pakistan Tuesday.
I'll be traveling to Islamabad tomorrow, back to meet with the Pakistani leadership as well. And we have made some very specific requests of Pakistan in order for them to take action to undermine the support that the Taliban receives and other terrorist organizations receive in Pakistan.
Tillerson said the U.S. will stay in Afghanistan until a process of reconciliation and peace can be secured. A Rwandan court has denied bail to Diane Rwigara, vocal critic of President Paul Kagame, and her mother. Rwigara jailed in September on charges of incitement and forgery. If convicted, she faces 15 years in prison. This is VOA News. The top U.S. military official Monday said an investigation continues into the deaths of four American military personnel killed in a counterterrorism operation in Niger October 4th. General Joseph Dunford, chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, said preliminary indications show that the soldiers were not taking unnecessary risks when they were ambushed by a suspected Islamic State affiliate.
To the extent that they're taking risk, we have sent them there to operate in areas within which there are extremist elements that, if we weren't conducting operations, our judgment is that they would have the capability to plan and conduct operations against the homeland, the American people, or our allies. So are they taking risks? They are. Are they taking risks that are unreasonable or not within their capabilities? I don't have any reason to believe that.
About 800 U.S. military personnel are said to be involved in counterterrorism operations across West Africa. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said unidentified warplanes attacked the government-held Kursar district in Deir ez-Zor in eastern Syria late Monday, killing more than a dozen people. State-controlled television blamed the attack on the U.S.-led coalition backing rebels fighting Islamic State militants. It said 14 civilians were killed, more than 30 others wounded. The observatory said 22 were killed. Singapore's visiting Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong expressed strong opposition Monday to the nuclearization of the Korean Peninsula and told President Donald Trump at the White House Singapore condemns the North's dangerous provocation.
I shared with President Trump what Singapore has done to pressure and to isolate the DPRK, going beyond UN Security Council resolutions. But there's no quick and easy solution. Pressure is necessary, but so is dialogue.
Speaking at the White House, Mr. Lee said the U.S. will need to work with others, including China, South Korea, Japan, and Russia, to resolve the issue. Also Monday, during a meeting with regional security officials in the Philippines, Japan's defense minister warned the nuclear missile threat posed by Pyongyang has grown to a critical and imminent level. U.S. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, during a stop in Addis Ababa Monday, met with Ethiopian Prime Minister Haile Mariam Desalegn and a senior African Union official. She also met reporters, talked about the crisis in South Sudan.
So you look at the South Sudan situation and being denied access to humanitarian things, to see the conflict that's going on, to see a government that's ignoring its people, leads to conflict, and we're seeing that situation deteriorate.
Haley will discuss the matter in South Sudan with President Salva Kiir. She'll also visit the Democratic Republic of Congo. The 113th World Series of North American Major League Baseball gets underway Tuesday in Los Angeles. The host Dodgers of the National League will have Game 1 with American League champion Houston Astros. It will be the Dodgers' first World Series in 29 years. The best-of-seven series will get off to a very warm start. I'm Victor Beatty.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Tuesday, October 24th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. DRC main opposition party demands reasons for the arrest of its members in Lubumbashi.
What we're going to ask is why our people were arrested. We want to know, and we want them to be out of cells and jail as soon as possible. This is what we're going to do, and our lawyers are working on that way.
Abraham Lua Kabuanga is the national secretary in charge of communication for the DRC's opposition UDPS party. Uganda's main opposition demands the release from detention of Dr. Kizza Besigye and other members. We look at the impact of political uncertainty on Kenya's economy. And Liberia's vice president joins the chorus of those criticizing the conduct of the October 10th presidential election.
We stand in solidarity with all the political parties who have raised concerns about the acts of irregularity and fraud at some polling places.
As Vice President Joseph Boakai of Liberia, fighting between two rebel groups continue Monday in the Kajukeji area of South Sudan's Ye River State, and vampire rumors spark mob attacks in Malawi. The stories plus our listener of the day are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The main opposition party in the Democratic Republic of Congo is demanding an explanation from the government over the arrest of 30 of its members in Lubumbashi. The Union for Democracy and Social Progress says the arrests are yet another attempt by the government of President Joseph Kabila to stifle dissent and harass opponents. According to local media reports, the opposition members were arrested as they gathered to welcome main opposition leader Felix Tshisekedi on his return from a trip abroad. Tshisekedi arrived in Lubumbashi on Monday. The government banned all demonstrations last year after security forces killed dozens of opposition supporters who were calling for President Joseph Kabila to step down. UDPS spokesman Abraham Lua Kabuanga tells viewers Peter Clotty that the government must release all those arrested.
They looted our headquarters, taking away computers, and also they looted one of lawyers' office that is on the compound of our headquarters. And over there also, they took several computers.
Did they say what they were looking for? Why did they confiscate those materials? Did they have any search warrants?
No, no search warrant. This is the usual. This is what they've been doing to all opposition forces since Kabila's in power. So maybe they were searching for plane of the program that was scheduled for the arrival and the time that President Tshisekedi was about to spend in Lubumbashi. So we had almost like 80 people being arrested yesterday. And since this morning in Lubumbashi, we're talking about over 100 people. And while I'm talking to you, a lot of people being arrested, even Mr. Gabriel Kyungu at Kumwanza, who's one of the leaders of Katanga, has been arrested and sent to a place that we don't know yet.
What has been Felix Tshisekedi's reaction after hearing about the arrest of his supporters and the ransacking of his office?
Hearing the fact that in Lubumbashi people were arrested, he was so excited, so responsible to say, hey, let me go down there, meet my people and see what I can do. They have to be released because they didn't do anything wrong. So that was the reason. He was also shocked by the fact that, you know, Congo just joined the United Nations Human Rights Council. The police and the security forces were still doing what they used to do, which is not letting people to use their freedom, which is a constitutional right.
The UN monitoring team, MONUSCO, has demanded the release of those who have been arrested. Will your party call on them to try to intervene in this matter?
We collected all the persons' name where those who were looted or were arrested. We submitted to the UN and to the MONUSCO. And our lawyers went down to several places, police places, to secret service places to ask where our people were. But I can tell you nobody was released until then. Nobody is out of cells or prison, Kabila's prison, since yesterday.
Were you informed the reasons behind their arrests?
No, no reasons yet. No reasons. You know, this is the trick that happened is the governor or the mayor of Lubumbashi released a statement 2 days ago saying that there were no, he was not allowing any welcoming ceremony for Felix Tshisekedi. So he denied to the people from Katanga to go to the airport or even waiting for the leader. When it's Kabila's parties or Kabila's people, they can gather together, they can do whatever they want to do. But when it's opposition, then, you know, they go arrest, loot, and even, you know, do the best to cancel any meeting from the opposition.
What is your party going to do about these arrests and the ransacking of your offices?
What we're going to ask is why our people were arrested. We want to know. And we want them to be out of cells and jail as soon as possible. This is what we're going to do. And our lawyers are working on that way. And knowing that this is just the first step, Mr. Tshisekedi has to go in several cities in the Congo. We have 26 major cities, and this is the first one. Just think about more than 100 people being arrested, places being looted for the first step. Can you imagine what will happen for the next one? It's going to be a catastrophe. So we are actually asking to President Kabila's forces to release our people. We're asking to the international community to watch over what's going on in the Congo. We're asking for the UN, for all partners of the Congo, to raise their voice and help us to take Mr. Kabila away by December the 31st, 2017, which is the end of the agreement that we had from the SANCO.
Abraham Luaka Buanga is the spokesperson for DRC's main opposition leader, Felix Tshisekedi. He spoke with viewers Peter Clotier from Lubumbashi. Members of Uganda's main opposition Forum for Democratic Change, FDC party, have threatened to sue the police over the continued imprisonment of former party president Dr. Kizza Besigye and other members who have been detained since last week, Thursday. FDC Deputy General Secretary Haru Kaija says Dr. Besigye and other detained members must be released immediately. Mugumi Davis Rakarinch reports from Kampala.
Mr. Kaija calls the detention of opposition leaders illegal. He says FDC is not going to sit and look on as their leaders are in police detention.
We're asking, are they going to court? The CID and his bosses do not know. You ask them, are you giving them bond? They do not know. And apparently now we're aware that the cases related to the FDC, defiers and the like are all handled by General Kaihura.
The police alleged that Dr. Besigye and his co-accused on Wednesday last week commanded an illegal procession in Rukunji district, which left at least one person dead and several others injured. Former FDC presidential candidate Dr. Kizza Besigye is detained at Nagalam police station in Mukono district. Other senior FDC officials in detention since Thursday are Ingrid Turinawe, the party secretary for mobilization, and the party presidential candidate Patrick Amliat. Various opposition members have been detained while trying to consult with the electorate about the proposed constitutional amendment on presidential age limit. Nathan Nandela Mafabi, the Secretary General, was on Sunday night released from police custody after spending 2 nights in jail. Asan Kasinje, the police spokesperson, admits the police are not acting according to the law.
We are aware that a suspect is supposed to be in jail for 48 hours and under detention for 48 hours. We are aware of that.
While addressing journalists yesterday, Monday, Paul Mwiru, the FDC deputy spokesperson, said Besigye and fellow members of the opposition detention have no case to answer.
We know that Article 29D, E and 2A guarantees the freedom of assembly and to demonstrate together with others peaceful and armed freedom of association and the freedom of movement.
Mwiru is calling on Rebecca Kadaga, the Speaker of Parliament, to come out and condemn the police actions. Both Mwiru and Kaija say the FDC will use all legal means available to ensure that Besigye and others now in custody for 5 days are released. Members of Parliament are expected to consult with their constituents on Constitutional Amendment Bill 2017, which seeks to scrap the lower and upper age limit as a requirement for one standing for presidency in Uganda. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Barton in Washington. Today is Tuesday, October 24th. Daybreak Africa time is coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta says Thursday's presidential election must go on with or without opposition candidate Raila Odinga. Thursday's vote is Kenya's second try this year to elect a president. The Supreme Court threw out the results of the August 8th election because of what it called irregularities and illegality. Opposition leader Raila Odinga has withdrawn his candidacy, saying Kenya's Electoral Commission has failed to undertake election reforms. Kenyatta says Monday his administration has provided the commission with the funds it needs to do its job. U.S. Ambassador to Kenya Robert Goldeck read a statement Monday on behalf of 20 Western nations, including the European Union, urging all sides to come together in Kenya for a credible election. But Goldeck said Kenyan courts should order a postponement if justices feel that the commission is not ready. Kenya's economy is expected to grow next year by 5%, down from a projected 6%, according to the International Monetary Fund. The slowdown is largely blamed on the political uncertainties related to the rerun presidential election scheduled for October 26. Mohammed Yusuf reports from Kisumu, an opposition stronghold in western Kenya.
Kisumu residents are in a rush to purchase the little food that is available in the streets. Commodities are scarce and business is not doing well. Weekly political protests are being blamed.
There is not much business since demonstrations began because on the demonstration day there is no business. We are also forced to join the protest and the police are here until the evening. And the day ends without making a cent.
Opposition strongholds like Kisumu have seen a series of protests demanding that members of Kenya's Electoral Commission resign. Some of the demonstrations have turned violent. The protests have cleared streets in Kisumu, the biggest town in western Kenya.
You cannot come. Here is a contingent of policemen wherever we are here. Because it was after peaceful demonstration, everybody was being chased within the town. Even if you are just a passersby, you are being tear gassed and yet you are not a protester.
Shop owners could be seen idling and chatting as some lucky ones welcomed a few walk-in customers.
Business is normal. When a protest begins, we close the shop and join them. We are fighting for our rights so that we can have a good business opportunity. Without rights, business won't be as usual.
The political uncertainty has prompted the Kenyan stock market to fall since September 1st, when the Supreme Court annulled President Uhuru Kenyatta's victory in the August election. Kisumu business leaders fear they may lose employers to neighboring towns.
We have businesses who are already contemplating moving out of Kisumu to the nearing areas where there are no demonstrations and relocating their godowns to those places so that they can continue with business. And we believe this is going to affect Kisumu greatly.
For the time being, the business has remained, but the demonstrations go on. The newly elected governor of the region has a daunting task to attract investors if and when the political uncertainty ends. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Kisumu, Kenya.
Liberia's incumbent Vice President Joseph Boakai has joined the chorus of opposition candidates criticizing the conduct of the country's October 10th presidential election. The Elections Commission announced last week that Boakai and Senator George Weah of the Opposition Coalition for Democratic Change will meet in a runoff on November 7th. But a number of candidates, including Alexander Cummings of the Alternative National Congress Party and Charles Bromskin of the Liberty Party, have voiced concerns about what they say were widespread irregularities. In a speech to the nation on Monday, Vice President Boakai declared his support for those alleging irregularities.
We stand in solidarity with all the political parties, including the Liberty Party, Alternative National Congress, and all Liberia Party and stakeholders who have raised concerns about the acts of irregularity and fraud at some polling places. So also goes solidarity to all of our political parties that participated in the process. We too have been gathering reports from some of our field agents pointing to some anomalies and electoral management inefficiencies which prevented some of our supporters and citizens from exercising their constitutional right to vote. We have consulted our team of legal and technical advisors and experts who have examined the veracity and the magnitude of these reports in order to decide on the proper course of action consistent with the laws of Liberia.
Vice President Boakai called on the National Elections Commission to expeditiously review the concerns being raised by what he called multiple political parties about election irregularities and then to take action.
We demand the National Election Commission to clean up and republish the final voter registration roll to enable voters ascertain well in advance the inclusion of their names on the final voter roll and the special precincts and polling centers where they can vote. We believe this will reduce the confusion and the long delay voters experience before casting their ballots. As our nation prepares to transition from one constitutionally elected administration to another, to a democratic and peaceful means, we believe that any mandate coming out of this exercise must truly reflect the collective free will of the Liberian people.
That's Vice President Joseph Boakai of Liberia speaking Monday in a speech to the nation. Fighting between two rebel groups continued Monday in the Kajokiji area of South Sudan's Ye River State. The groups are the SPLAIO rebels, allied to former First Vice President Riek Machar, and National Salvation Front rebels led by former Deputy Army Chief General Thomas Cirilio. As Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba, an unknown number of people were killed during the fighting, which began early last week.
Officials from both sides blamed the other for starting the fighting. Brigadier General Isaac Farouk, one of the senior officers for the National Salvation Army, speaking in Kajokiji from an undisclosed location, told the South Sudan in Focus that SPLAIO forces loyal to Machar attacked NAS fighters who were heading to Jalimo, a brigade command base. Farouk says hundreds of SPLAIO forces have defected and have now joined NAS forces.
We have a Brigadier General Kennedy Kanyi Warrior who has already joined us with the 400 men and a couple of officers. And again, we have with us Brigadier General Chaplain Lumana Towe, who is the deputy of the Brigadier General Moses Lokuji, who has been attacking our forces. And again, we have the Major, Lodu Victor Jacob, who is the office manager of the governor of Ye River State, Governor Matata.
Farouk says after recent battles in Kajokiji, NAS fighters overran villages that were formerly under the control of SPLAIO forces.
The moment we control the largest area, the IO force, which is here, is only now based in Kariwa, at the border.
Farouk also claims NAS forces control Jalimo, Sokare, Kimu, Agana, Bamure, and Bori, which had all been under SPLAIO control. Those claims could not be independently verified. Colonel Lampaul Gabriel, deputy military spokesman for SPLAIO forces, says NAS forces attacked SPLAIO positions while they were fighting government forces last week. Colonel Gabriel says fighting between the two groups continued until yesterday. Gabriel says SPLAIO forces killed 20 NAS fighters and disputes other claims made by Brigadier General Farouk.
We don't have 400 soldiers in Kajokiji. Now, where have they found these guys from? If they say mosque, how do they call Bori to be most of the place in Kajokiji? Because we are now in Sokare. If they consider like Bori to be most of Kajokiji, then I'm very sorry. Because if they say most, what about the government? The government is in Mundari. They've gone back after taking Mundari. They came back. Then in Mere. And in Jale, no, we are in control of three-quarters of what they are saying.
Colonel Gabriel says in the past, his group has tried without success to collaborate with the NAS leader, General Thomas Cirilo.
Our governors wrote to him a letter, including our deputy commander-in-chief, that is Henry Odua, also wrote to him a letter asking him to work together with us. But Thomas was adamant, and up to now he's still adamant to accept. He thinks that he can own us because we're Equatorian and because also he's an Equatorian. And he thinks that, okay, NAS is the Equatorian movement. No, NAS is a national movement, just like the SLIO. Reducing us to an Equatorian movement is something that we're not going to accept.
And Gabriel says his group remains loyal to rebel leader Riek Machar. Ye River State Information Minister Alfred Kennedy Doko confirms the two rebel groups have been fighting in Kajokiji for days.
Those anti-peace element forces loyal to the former chairman of the NAIO, Dr. Riek Machar, carry an offensive to our positions on the 15th of October, but the SPLA repulsed them and defeated them. And then on the 17th, they started to engage each other.
Government forces, the SPLA-IO and NAS rebels are all fighting to control Kajokeji, which lies in a strategic area near the border with Uganda. This marks the first major battle between the two rebel groups in the area. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Malawi has seen a surge in mob violence amid rumors of vampires. At least 9 people have been stoned to death since the start of September, and police have arrested 140 people accused of taking part in vigilante justice. Lamek Masina reports for VOA from Blantyre.
On October 19th, an angry mob in Blantyre stoned to death 22-year-old epileptic man suspected of being a ritual bloodsucker. The vigilantes also stoned to death another person in a separate incident the same day. Residents report nocturnal visits by the alleged vampires. Ida Chikopa told her story directly to President Peter Mutharika when he visited her area. She said it happened to me on 19th September when I was asleep around 8 o'clock in the evening. I was surprised to see blood coming from my nose, and blood was all over my mat. I asked my husband to light a torch to see what was happening. He went outside the house, but he could not see and find anything. But I was very weak that night. The president asked her to clarify, but Chikopa repeated the same statement. Police and medics say the rumors are a hoax. Lex Tenigachama is the Inspector General of the Malawi Police Service.
You can have some nose bleeding. In Chichewa, we call it nkafuno. If you get that nkafuno, you quickly rush to a decision that, you know, somebody, a black sucker, came and started sucking me blood. That is not true.
The rumors started in early September and have spread to 7 districts of the country. Residents told VOA they believe the bloodsuckers use modern technology and magic to immobilize victims late at night with a chemical, then drain their blood before vanishing. Government authorities are yet to establish the origin of the rumors, but residents believe they came from neighboring Mozambique. Kalepa Mawele is the chairperson for Palombe District Council. He says here in Palombe we have bordered Mozambique. We started hearing about rumors of blood suckers from Mozambique, and now they have spread in all areas of 6 traditional authorities here in Palombe. Some critics have tied the rumors to the recent nullification of vagrancy laws that prevented people from loitering on the streets at night. Most of those killed in the mob attacks were strangers to the area they were attacked. But the executive director for Center for Human Rights Education, Victor Muhango, disagrees with that premise.
I think we are primitive society. I think they believe in juju, that we just believe that this is happening. The police have challenged the nation that if you have evidence, show us. We are going to arrest them. People are just creating that. Maybe they've got some other motives.
In the meantime, UN agencies have withdrawn their workers from affected districts, and the U.S. Embassy has temporarily pulled out Peace Corps volunteers. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
And that's it for this Tuesday, October 24th edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, producer Nicole Beckford, reporters Peter Clotty and Ricky Stryak, as well as sports editor Samson O'Malley, along with our engineer Greg Burns, I'm James Barton, Washington, wishing you in Africa a nice day.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at Kenya's opposition protest and election confusion as the nation prepares for a repeat presidential vote. Citing irregularities, Kenya's Supreme Court nullified the results of the August 8th presidential poll. Understanding Kenya's presidential election on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.